I say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me La Cuatro Coyote. Gardner, coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 128 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, leave a review. It helps other people find us, is what it boils down to. On Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen on Spreaker. And if you're on Spreaker, be sure to listen to or follow Ramble on Radio. And also now on Stitcher Radio, so you can drive along in your car and listen to it on the app. Also check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And YouTube, this one is being YouTube. The last one I YouTubed, and it kind of worked really well. It's gotten easier to just kind of record off your phone. And it up previously, it took me forever to update them. They wouldn't upload very well on the phone and stuff. This last time was easy. So I'm going to keep doing it until it's hard. Because apparently some people actually listen that way. Alright, so what you heard on the intro and on YouTube, if you go to iTunes and look up this album, you can find the song. We heard the like a minute 30 clip, and it was Robert Plant performing Jesus on the Main Line on Fairport Convention's new album. If you ordered from their website, the CDs are already shipped. However, it's another month or month and a half before it's officially released. The album is called 50-50 at 50, and that is 50:50 at 50, all kind of together, no spaces. So look that up on YouTube, and it pops up really quick, or on iTunes, I mean, and it pops up really quick, and you get Jesus on the Main Line by Robert Plant. And I'll talk a little bit about that shortly. We'll get into just a touch more on that, not much, because there's really not much more to say. You heard it. You know what I know in terms of that, but I do want to kind of correct the record on something that's about that, that's out there about that. So, all right. So in history, in the last, it's been a while since before Christmas, since the last podcast, my apologies for those who wait anxiously for the podcasts. We had some birthdays this month. Richard Cole was born January 2nd, 1946. So he turned 71. The next day, the very next day, January 3rd, 1946, John Paul Jones was born. So he turned 71. January 6th, speaking of Fairport Convention, see, everything just ties together. January 6th, 1947, Sandy Denny was born. So she would have been 70 this year had she lived. And of course, she was a member of Fairport Convention when she joined Robert Plant to sing Battle of Evermore. She was actually singing with Fairport Convention at that time. If you don't know the history, who nicked her from the Straubs? The Straubs had done an album with her, and then she went off to Fairport Convention. January 9, 1944. So you're talking 73 this year, Jimmy Page was born. And of course, on his 24th birthday, I think it was, 25th birthday in 1969, Led Zeppelin played Fillmore West. And his famously on his 26th birthday, he played the Royal Albert Hall in 1970, January 9, 1970. 69 was the first of the Fillmore West shows. Kind of famous for helping establish Led Zeppelin back in 1969. But the Royal Albert Hall show was one of the more famous London shows. Royal Albert Hall, and then the 575 shows at Earl's Court, and then, of course, Nebworth. They're kind of the famous London shows they did through the years. And it would be backstage at the Royal Albert Hall show where Jimmy Page actually met Scarlett Martin, who would, you know, be his partner for the next 12, 14, 15 years, something like that. into the 80s anyway. January 12, 1995, Robert Plant, or Led Zeppelin, induced into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. January 17, 1969, Led Zeppelin 1 released. January 18, 1975, the Led Zeppelin 1975 tour begins in Minneapolis, and Robert Plant's not feeling well to start this tour. He's got a bad throat, and Jimmy Page has a broken finger, I believe. Didn't start really well, but it rolled along. It got going. The 20th, 1969, the rumored Wheaton, Texas show, and there's a film out there. Jeff Kroelk, I think, is this. I don't want to say it. Maybe I get him wrong. But anyway, there is a film that's out there that plays once in a while. Can't find it on the internet. Believe me, I've kept my eyes open for it. It's not available for sale, as far as I can tell. But it does play once in a while. The filmmaker did a movie called Heavy Metal Parking Lot, probably about 10 years ago. Maybe more. And he kind of looked at 80s heavy metal, 20 years later sort of thing. But anyway, he did a show called Led Zeppelin Played Here, and it is about this rumored show that shows up on no playbills. There's no evidence that the show happened, but there's long been a rumor that it did happen, that they played in Wheaton, Texas on January 20, 1969. January 27, 1975, I told you that, this is 9 days into the tour. They had to cancel a show in St. Louis due to Robert Plant's influenza. And yeah, he was not well for the first part of the show. And they had a few days off around St. Louis, so they canceled St. Louis and went to warmer climes. They went to L.A., I think. I think it was L.A. they went to. There was talk about going to the Caribbean. One guy wanted to go here, one guy wanted to go there. They all had different places they wanted to go. Paige, I believe, wanted to go to L.A., because that's where the debauchery was. And at the end of the day, he won out for the simple reason that the Starship, their plane, the Starship, was not licensed to leave continental United States. So, or couldn't fly, wasn't certified for over water or something like that. So they had to stay within the U.S. And finally, on the 31st of January, 1969, the first of two nights at the Fillmore East in New York, this is the night they famously blew Iron Maiden off the stage. So that's kind of in history for the last couple of weeks. Okay, on to kind of news and stuff. And I have something for you guys today. I have something fun for you. Something you like falls under the category of interview, but it's not my interview. I have known about this for years, and it's in the back of my mind for a long time to see if I could get permission to use it, and I have it. I have it came up this week, and I threw it out there to the person who owns this piece, if I could use it, and he said yes. So I'll explain in a little bit. Give me 5 minutes here. Maybe 10, and I'll explain away. All right. So Black Country Communion has been in the studio recording, I think it's their fourth studio album, is it not? They have a live album plus three studios, I believe. So their fourth studio album. Word out of the sessions is the best ever, blah, blah, blah. They always say that, though. if you're curious, then... the producer, Kevin Shirley, still the producer. And he considers himself part of the band, and I think him and Joe Bonamassa are really tight, and I think he almost considers himself part of the unit. Now, of course, he could be dispatched with in a heartbeat if Joe Bonamassa and him have a fight, and he could be gone. But as it stands, he is part of the band. He is an effective part of the unit, and... so that's, the people have asked about that. There are people saying, oh, maybe somebody else should produce them, but that's not happening. It's not happening this one, and I doubt it's happening on the next one. And as he was the guy who kind of instigated getting these guys together to play, he may well have had contracts were signed saying basically, if this happens, I play, I'm in. You guys don't record without me or something. He may well have got that on paper. But nonetheless, that's Kevin Shirley producing. And the boys are playing, recording, I think as we speak, actually. There was a lot of kind of Facebook activity about 2 weeks ago about the recording and whatnot. All right, so I mentioned the new Fairport Convention album. It's their 50th anniversary album. And like I say, it's called 50-50 at 50. It's 50:50@50. All in one word, all no spaces or anything. And if you go to YouTube, you can listen, or not YouTube, but iTunes, you can get a previews of all the songs. We heard Robert Plant doing Jesus on the Main Line. Yeah, that was Robert Plant singing. It doesn't quite sound like Plant. I think the second or third time I listened through it, I went, oh, okay, I'm hearing that it's Plant. It didn't kind of sound like Plant. But if you listen to it a couple of times, you'll go, oh yeah, okay, okay. And I suspect that's him doing the harmonica solo. It's listed as live on the album, but apparently it's not live on stage. It was cut live in the studio, and apparently it was a one-taker, and they were all very happy with it. Now, there is, I got looking this up a bit, and there is, Classic Rock Magazine, I think, reported this story of Robert Plant at Fairport Convention, and it says he joins Jackie McShee on a song. Pentangle vocalist. Jackie McShee is from band Pentangle. By the way, interesting confluence in Jackie McShee. It's kind of a French Jackie, you know, just J-A-C-Q-U-I. And then McShee is pure Scottish-Irish, you know, McIrish. M, small c, capital S, H-E-E. So kind of a French Scottish-Irish thing going on there in the name. But that's a sidebar. Let's call that what it is. So she does a song called Lady of Carlisle. Her and Plant don't perform together. And when I, you know, when I was reading it, it read like they do a song together. And I actually wrote it down here as they do it. And then I went looking for the song and discovered, no, they don't do a song together. They do, each do a song. So that's, but that's, yeah. So, Fairport Convention, new album. Like say, you can order the CD now. But it was March or something is the actual release date for the album. Anyway. Okay, so let's get to this interview. This interview is about 3 minutes long. If you play classical guitar, as, for instance, I do, you would know. There's a radio program called Classical Guitar Alive. A guy called Tony Morris puts on this show. He started it on his own, basically. I think kind of out of his basement almost. And it features strictly, it's an hour of classical guitar music, and it gets broadcast across the U.S., various cities, various and a lot of public broadcasting networks apparently carry this radio show. But you can get it almost anywhere in the U.S., and it's got a set time where it plays. And so within the classical guitar world, Tony's kind of well-known. This program is very well-known. And, yeah. So anyway, in 1998... the show was, according to in the interview, he says a year and a half old. He was doing the show live one night, and Jimmy Page called him. Was on tour with Page and Plant, and called in to say he's enjoying the show. And but here's what Tony says. Here's how Tony presents this. In 1998, the Classical Guitar Live radio program I produce had been nationally distributed for barely 1 year. Completely out of the blue, I got a phone call from a fan of the show who turned out to be none other than Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. He called because he heard the show while on tour and was curious to hear more about a piece he had heard, a guitar concerto by Ernesto Cordero featuring Ivan Rijos. We spoke on the phone for 15 or 20 minutes, and he kindly consented to doing an impromptu interview. Jimmy Page has also kindly consented to being a guest artist on our American Classic television program for PBS. That last part, I'm not sure when that was. I've never kind of heard of that, but there you go. But Jimmy Page has been on a guest artist on the Classical Guitar Live TV show as well. Anyway, so that's what that, and so I heard it years ago, and I was in the back of my mind thought, I'm going to ask Tony one time if I can steal that. And I'm Facebook friends with Tony, and I've had conversations with him before, so it's not like I'm an out of the blue guy exactly. Although I probably know who he is far more than he knows who I am. So he reposted it for some reason this week, or somebody posted something else on a different classical guitar site, and he posted that. And it's just kind of a curiosity to him, you know. And he's performed at the White House under three different presidents, I think. And he's had really quite a significant career as a player as well as a radio host. But this is one of the little brags that he has, you know, and the little joys that he's had through the years. He got a chance to talk to Jimmy Page. So, yeah, he posted the clip again. And at that point, I jumped in and says, you mind if I share this with my listeners? And he said, no problem. So, thank you really very much to Tony Morris for allowing me to use this. And if you're, especially in the States, and you get a chance to hear classical guitar live, know that Jimmy Page likes the program, and know that you'll hear some wonderful guitar music, and that you're supporting somebody who helped us out here, which would be nice. But anyway, here it is. Here's the interview, Tony Morris and Jimmy Page in 1998.
So I have to ask you, are you the Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin?
I am, yes.
Wow.
Well, it's a different sort of field, but it's still got six strings, eh?
Yeah. Well, I have to say I'm really, really thrilled to speak with you. And I've, you know, as a classical player, I have to just say, you know, one of the first pieces I've sort of played badly was Stairway to Heaven. So.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. I played it badly, too.
Well, it sounds great to me, so.
Yeah, well, that's great, good. We're a bit electric and amplified, really, but nevertheless, it's I still play acoustic, but usually six string on a very, 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 very occasion, the guts in, but, you know, I'm basically self-taught, but, well, I am self-taught, but I must admit that at one point, because I used to do a lot of studio work, you know.
Right, right.
And at one point, basically, because I started to see music appearing in front of me, I actually had some classical lessons, but I mean, it wasn't even a handful, really. But it was really very interesting, you know, and really it was to learn to read as well. So that's about the only formal training you could even call it. That it was really meddling than training. Did you actually put? Because it was a whole classic guitar sort of.
Right. That's.
You put all that together, did you?
Yes,
congratulations.
Well, thanks.
It was a really nice.
Well, thanks.
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah, it's right now. It's the only nationally syndicated guitar show in the U.S. It's on like 93 cities right now, I think, and it's just like a year and a half old. So the show's doing really well.
And you're instrumental in just having gone all of that, presumably, with the distribution and everything, right?
Yeah, it's.
Well, congratulations. Well, that's great.
Thank you.
It's not easy to get things like that done, is it?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Wow.
Anyway, listen, Tony, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Oh, I don't know what it is. I feel like ending the program now. I had a weird... I'm taping over this. I had an echo in there. But it turned out not to be showing up in the final product, so we'll go with it. So that was, again, thanks to Tony Morris for providing that. It's only about 3 minutes, I think. What have I got? From about 18 to 20 and a half. So 2.5, 3 minutes. And if you're on YouTube... go to SoundCloud, look up Tony Morris, Classical Guitar Live. It's in there. Somewhere it's in there. I would say to you, delete this, I think. So that's, and if you get a chance to listen to the program, please do. if you get a chance for whatever reason to talk to Toni Morris, please thank him for letting me use this. I don't know what else to say. All right, new band. You'll note in the intro, I was La Cuatro Coyote. Coyote. I got it right in the intro, but I can't get it right now. But for those who don't know, John Paul Jones has announced a new band called Trey Coyote. And they got a Facebook page. They got a YouTube page. You go to Ramble On Radio, I kind of posted something on it. So the band features John Paul Jones, the composer Magnus Lindberg, and a cello player. Sorry, is he cello? Yeah, cello player Ansi Kartunen. I think I got that right. K-A-R-T-T-U-N-E-N. Kartunen. Yeah. Ansi Kartunen. And a couple of European guys. Magnus Lindberg and Ansi Kartunen. Yes, they might be Northern European. Both are classical players. Lindberg's a classical composer. Kartunen's a classical cello player, but they do modern classical very much, which is not Bach. How's that sound? It ain't Mozart. And that's not a knock. Modern classical is very polyrhythmic, which is to say multiple rhythms going on, and it's kind of like a controlled chaos. And also, it would be... What is the word? But anyway, it's not traditionally melodic. You play out of the key. You play notes that are dissonant. Sorry, they use a lot of dissonance. That was the word I was looking for. And by dissonant, you mean they clash. It's not a lovely little chord. It's two notes that kind of hit each other in the wrong way. So, and if you go to rambleonradio.com, I did a post on this, and I posted Ansi Kartunen playing a Magnus Lindberg cello suite, and you can hear there's a lot going on. It's not traditionally melodic over harmony, just a melody over harmony. There's stuff going on, and sometimes it feels like the violin section's fighting the cello instead of complementing it. And there's a lot of runs, a lot of high speed runs, kind of thing. A lot of effect, noise effect, sound effect, playing scales and throwing harmonics in the middle of it, and that sort of thing. So it's not your grandpa's Mozart collection. It's different, and it has been. I mean, this has been classical music for really. This stuff started in the '60s, and it's fairly common now. And there are those even in the classical music world, people who love classical music who have no time for this. It's a bit, think modern jazz as applied to classical, and you're kind of in that range of what it is. There's a lot going on, and it's noisy at times. But it can also be, truly and utterly spectacular. It can be one of those amazing things you will ever experience if it's done right by the right people. That's the catch. A lot of times it'll sound like just kind of noise. But when something happens, because there is still a melody there, when that melody shines, when it fights and bashes its way through, it can really be, it can be sensational. Going back into classical guitar, there's a piece called, Usher's Waltz by Nikita Koshkin, which has a lot of elements of modern classical to it, and yet it is truly and utterly spectacular. As good as any piece by anybody else. It's just one of those, when it's done right, it's really, really good. And that's what you're hoping for here, that these three people all have established reputations as exceptional musicians, two in the same vein. Jones uses different vein. Would be, you hope they get it right and they really produce something magical. That said, it's probably not going to be for everybody. I'm kind of hoping they break out of just the classical shell or the modern classical shell and roll some stuff, roll into some jazz, roll into some rock music. Because, on Ramble on Radio, when I did a post on the webpage, I kind of referenced, I took the liberty, and it definitely was a liberty, of referencing the old band Sky, which was a late 70s, early 80s band, featured John Williams, the classical guitarist, and a bunch of guys who were mostly from the classical jazz world, but they're all studio guys, and guys, you know, the bass player, I believe, played with David Bowie. Another one played with, there was a pop, you know, Tom Jones and that sort of thing, as well as having jazz careers. And they were really an interesting band. Now, very 70s, almost porn music at times, just because of the way it is. Lots of wah-wah pedal guitar. And it just tended to fall into that category a bit. But they were an exceptional band, and they did some really spectacular stuff. And they stretched into all sorts of different veins. One hopes, if this lasts very long, that they stretch into some different veins. But it could be an interesting outfit. And if you're wondering, what's he been doing with the avant-garde stuff, and where's this, may be, you know, where it led him to. This may be the magic moment it led him to that we all want to hear. Or it could be more noise. That, you know, and your mileage will vary anyway. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this comes up. I listened to that cello suite, and it had moments when you go, I'm not so sure about this. But there were a couple of times when you kind of go, oh, that's nice. That hit, you know, and it can be. So I think this could be special, but that's it could be, it not necessarily will be, you know. And that's it. That's it for today. Nice little tight half-hour show. Apologize it took so long to get around to it. I've been doing some household renovations, and I've been sick, and then I've been, you know. So I will try to get one done fairly soon. I have three topics kind of sitting on my laptop that I want to get researching, and I have not had a chance to get at any of them. I'm hoping this week I will get at one of them, and I think I know which one it'll be. And but I'll hopefully see it in the next week or two, and we'll go from there. So thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 128. I should say, heading out to see Get the Light Out Friday in Mississauga. If you're going, look for me. That's all I can tell you. I don't know exactly where I'll be sitting, but I'll be there. Check the YouTube, see what I look like, and then yeah, say hi. Say hi. And if you meet the band afterwards and you're gone, tell them, yeah, I heard about you on this podcast, Ramble on Radio. Let them know that's how you heard about me. So that's it. Again, let's get back to it. That's it for Ramble on Radio, episode 128. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, leave a review. It doesn't matter why you're in iTunes. Doing the checking quickly on the Robert Plant's new song on 50/50/50. Pop over, just do a quick search for Ramble on Radio. Leave a review. Leave a star or three stars or five stars. And it just, their algorithms look for review. The more reviews you got, the higher you appear in Apple's algorithms. So when people search Led Zeppelin, it's more likely to come up. Thus, makes it easier for them to find us. You can download Ramble on Radio at Podbean. Look for at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen at Spreaker, SPREAKER.com. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. You can listen on Stitcher Radio, which have an app, and you can listen directly from there. And check it out on YouTube. This particular show will be on YouTube, with a few weird breaks in the middle, by the way. If you're watching, and if you're on YouTube and you're watching this, you will find that occasionally I stop. You guys listening to it as a podcast won't hear that. I'll stop. I'll do something. I'll do some research, but I don't have the capability to do a quick. I wish the cameras on these phones would go, oh, okay, pause. I wish I had a pause, but I need a pause button, man. So yeah, you get these little breaks in the YouTube action while I'm figuring out what website I'm looking at and stuff. But anyway, it's on YouTube. Check it out on YouTube if you want. We want to see what I look like. Thanks for listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 128. Keep it cool. Keep it cool, baby.
Keep it cool, baby. Keep it cool, baby. I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.